are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name's Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Wednesday and happy return to Timberwolves basketball. Today, our episode will focus entirely on previewing Wolves Pelicans, which tips off at 7 p.m. tonight at Target Center. Of course, the Wolves have not played since Friday, enjoying four consecutive days off at home, although we all know how well that turned out last time around after Thanksgiving when the Wolves, I don't think they've won since then, actually. So here's hoping that this four-day break at home is better than the last. I guess that was a three-day break at home. But either way, here's hoping the team's well-rested and is ready to go on Wednesday. This is, of course, an extremely winnable game for the Wolves and one that they should be able to pull off with relative ease, as they'll be hosting the Pelicans, who have lost an incredible 13 games in a row, a franchise record 13 games in a row. That said, it's not like the Pelicans have been blown out by everyone of late. We're going to take a quick run through some of their losses. They actually just lost on Tuesday night and will be on the second half of a back-to-back. So that is just another thing that should be a tally in the advantage column for the Timberwolves, but you never know. So I guess just looking briefly at what the Pelicans have done lately, they, as mentioned, lost to the Nets on Tuesday night at home in New Orleans. It was an overtime loss. There was a little bit of controversy at the end of regulation. The Nets, I think it was Spencer Dinwiddie, forced up a shot at the end of the shot clock with just under 3 seconds left. It didn't hit the rim. The refs ruled that it did and didn't blow the play dead, and time expired before the Pelicans could get the ball up court and get a shot. Upon further review, it did not hit the rim, and Elvin Gentry, the Pelicans coach, was really upset that it wasn't reviewed. Of course, it wouldn't have guaranteed anything other than, you know, they would have had been able to call a timeout, advance the ball, and get off a better shot at the end of regulation. After overtime, the Nets won through overtime by 7 points, and that extended the Pelicans losing streak to 13 games in a row. If you look at what they've been up to lately, they've had several single digit road losses, and I mean they've come to the likes of the Bucks, losing on the road by single digits to arguably the best team in the league. Not a bad thing. Single digit road losses to the Thunder and Jazz as well, who the Jazz are a likely playoff team. The Thunder are playing. I mean, they're technically would be in the playoffs today if they started today. So the Pelicans have at least been somewhat competitive for a team that's 6-22 and has lost 13 in a row. They only lost to the Pistons by 2 points. They lost to the Suns by 7. Both those were home games. They lost to the Thunder at home by 3, so they lost to the Thunder by 5 on the road, 3 at home. So they've mostly been competitive. Overall this year, the Pelicans are 2-11 on the road. The Timberwolves, of course, are just 3-9 at home, so that's maybe one of the weirder anomalies we've seen so far this year, the Wolves being 3-9 at home. We've talked a little bit about the catch-22 of the fans aren't coming, so it's kind of depressing to play at home, but the fans aren't going to come unless you guys figure out how to at least be competitive against teams that you should beat at home, like, say, the Memphis Grizzlies, Phoenix Suns, things like that. So Wolves are just 3-9 at home. Who knows? Maybe, I don't know. We're not quite to holiday breaks yet for the most part. So I don't know what sort of crowd we're going to have on Wednesday. This is probably finals week for a lot of people. So if it's a college night on Wednesday, as it often is, who knows if that even matters. So hopefully the Wolves can overcome what could be a pretty dead Target Center on Wednesday for, to beat a team that they should beat. Of course, this is unstoppable. Force meets an immovable object, with the Wolves having lost 7 in a row and the Pelicans having lost 13 in a row. And this is, of course, the first time that the two teams have played this year, which is a little weird this far into the year. There's maybe one or two other Western Conference teams the Wolves haven't seen yet. But this is I think this is it. So a little weird they haven't played yet. They'll still play a couple more times later this year, but would be really, really important to pull this one out. As of right now, the Wolves are favored. If you go to the Action Network in Vegas, the Wolves are favored by 8.5 points in this one. Seems a little high for me, given how poorly the Wolves have played of late. But then again, they are at home, and the Pelicans played last night on a back-to-back, had a deflating overtime loss. I think the one concern for the Wolves would be if the Pelicans are able to gear back up and say they should have won that game last night. They were close. And then they see this as a very winnable game against another team that's on a huge losing skid. So a little bit worrisome. In terms of an injury report, J.J. Redick didn't play last night in New Orleans. I think it was a sore ankle. No word on whether or not he'll play today. He was listed as day-to-day. So perhaps they were just giving him the front end of a back-to-back off. And surprisingly, Karl Anthony Towns is on the Timberwolves injury report that Timberwolves PR released on Tuesday. Of course, Jake Layman was listed, still is out with a left toe sprain. Towns was listed with a left knee sprain, which is different than, I think it was the right knee tendinopathy that he had been listed with prior to the game in Oklahoma City a couple of weeks ago. And then there were a couple games after that he still made it onto the injury report with a knee. But this is a different injury, left knee sprain. Had not heard about anything about this previously. There hasn't been anything said about it really since this was tweeted out. I guess who knows? There was a comment right after the game, I guess in Ryan Saunders' post game comments to the media last Friday, and said that Kat's knee wasn't a major concern. It does seem unlikely that he'd miss this game after the 3-day layoff or 4-day layoff actually, and playing a really winnable game before a long road trip. I would think the Wolves are going to do what they can to get him on the court as long as there's no real risk for obviously major injury or something like that. So significant guys, you know, listed on the injury report with Redick and Towns. Of course, Layman still being out isn't great either. But again, super winnable game for the Wolves. Next up, we're going to get into the keys to the game for the Timberwolves and how they might go about beating the Pelicans. First, I did want to mention some of our new friends at Casper. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. Get $100 toward select mattresses by visiting casper.com/lockednba and using lockednba at checkout. It's casper.com/lockednba and using lockednba at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. If you're unable to visit Casper right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. One of the keys to this game between the Pelicans and Timberwolves is whether or not J.J. Redick is able to play. We should find that out, I would think, or at least have a good sense after shoot around on Wednesday at Target Center, I guess, if the Pelicans shoot around after playing last night and traveling. But this Pelicans team is basically, their offense is predicated on playing fast and J.J. Redick and Brandon Ingram making three-pointers. Nobody else in this team is really dynamic offensively and has really done much consistently. I mean, there's Jrue Holiday, but he hasn't been, he doesn't get to the free throw line and he doesn't really make his threes when he gets there. Jrue Holiday's actually had a little bit of a rough go of it this year. And part of that is due to that they haven't had anybody down in the paint. Derek Favors missed several games. His mother passed away unexpectedly around Thanksgiving, and he just started playing again in the last week, and he's still on kind of a abbreviated minutes restriction as he works his way back into playing shape and back into the swing of things. So with Favors out, Zion Williamson hasn't played yet in the regular season because of surgery on his meniscus in his knee. This team has been relying heavily on Jackson Hayes and Jahlil Okafor down low. And of course, Jackson Hayes is a rookie. He's 19 years old. He's been really good this year, but he has a limited offensive game and you know, has had his issues defensively as he learns how to play at the NBA level. So this team is basically reliant on Redick and Ingram making threes, and they're both really, obviously really good at that. Redick is shooting as expected, 45.7% from beyond the arc. Brandon Ingram shooting 40% from beyond the arc and is averaging about 25 points a game, and has been really good for them. He's legitimately been good, not simply a volume scorer. He's grabbed 7 rebounds a game, over 3.5 assists, nearly a block, and nearly a steal per game. And Ingram has a real shot at getting a max contract this offseason, quite honestly. He's still just 22 years old and is finally starting to realize some of that potential that everybody saw when he came out a few years ago. So Ingram is still going to play in this game, and he's been great so far this year. Jrue Holiday is still a dynamic offensive player and is exactly the type of player that the Wolves have struggled with, a primary ball handler with some scoring punch. For the Wolves, positively for the Wolves, however, Holiday's shooting just 33.6% from beyond the arc this year. He's getting to the free throw on less than 3 times a game, and he's shooting the ball at under 68% when he gets to the free throw line. So it's been a little bit of a weird year for Jrue Holiday. For his career, he's only a 35% three-point shooter, and he's struggled the last couple of seasons. So I guess he's in line with where he has been. He is shooting less free throws and at a lower clip than what we're used to seeing from Jrue Holiday. So if he's going to do some damage from the mid-range on floaters, et cetera, that's something that the Wolves have been susceptible to this year. So that's certainly something to keep an eye on. No Redick, though, would cut the Pelicans' three-point shooting threat in half. They don't really have anybody else who's a consistent threat from out there. Josh Hart off the bench is a good three-point shooter. He's above league average. That's about it. Rather inexplicably, Etuan Moore is no longer in the rotation for the Pelicans. And you know, I guess to be clear, I haven't watched a ton of Pelicans games, at least recently. And so maybe there's a reason that I'm not aware of why he's not in the rotation, but he's objectively, he's a better player than Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball is starting and not playing very well. Etuan Moore is not in the rotation currently. He's only played in 16 games this year, but he's a 38% three-point shooter, a good defender, or decent defender at least. I guess Lonzo Ball is perhaps a little better on the defensive end of the floor than Etuan Moore, but that's really the only reason why he should be playing unless this team is deciding to enter blatant tank mode. But after losing 13 games in a row, I don't know why you wouldn't plug Etuan Moore back into the rotation and give him a shot. But anyways, he's out of the rotation. Lonzo Ball has struggled. All he really is able to do is push the ball. He's still a decent passer. Or a good passer and a good rebounder for his position, but he hasn't provided much scoring punch, and defensively he's just okay. As a team, the Pelicans, like I mentioned earlier, they play fast and they do shoot threes and they shoot them well. They actually shoot the fourth most threes per game in the league, and their shooting percentage is 10th best in the league, and that's pretty much buoyed by Redick's 45% and Ingram's 40% from beyond the arc. So again, if you cut that in half, if Redick doesn't play and Etuan Moore's not in the rotation, you really only have to worry about Ingram and Josh Hart from beyond the arc and then containing Jrue Holiday in the pick and roll and slowing them down just a little bit in the open floor to keep them from getting easy buckets underneath to Jaxson Hayes and to Jahlil Okafor would be what the Wolves would need to do. Looking at the Pelicans game from just the previous night, Favors only played 20 minutes. He started. I would expect something similar, especially on a back-to-back. And this team relied heavily on Jaxson Hayes down low. Jahlil Okafor actually didn't play in this game either. I don't think there was an injury, so I'm not really sure why, as he had been playing relatively consistently for much of the season. But Jaxson Hayes got a lot of minutes. The Pelicans have a strong wing defender in Kenrick Williams, who doesn't do much offensively, but I would expect him to guard Andrew Wiggins. And he's really the only clear plus defender that has much consistency on the Pelicans. That's where they struggle the most. So Towns should have an opportunity against, I'm sure that Okafor plays in this game, just given the inside threat that Towns presents. But Jaxson Hayes is a solid defender. He's had lapses. He had a big lapse against Jarrett Allen late in the Nets game. And, you know, it's an opportunity for the Wolves to really feed Towns, provided Towns plays. Of course, again, he's questionable heading into the game. But Towns should get every opportunity to have a big game against this team. And again, it's a game that the Wolves should really win. If they can limit Jrue Holiday and limit Ingram to an extent, this team should be just fine. There's nobody else on the Pelicans that provides a real, true offensive threat, and the Wolves should be able to pull this one out for sure. They also need to be careful. I mean, both teams like to play fast, but the Wolves need to pick their spots and not be careless with the ball. This is a game, again, if they can avoid just giving possessions away, it's absolutely a game that the Wolves should be able to pull out. Right, before we get to our final segment, I did want to mention Breaking Tea. If you're looking for a last-minute fun sports gift for the holidays, go to breaking.com/lockedon. Breaking Tee makes sports t-shirts around teams' passion moments. Great for all fans. Go to breakingtee.com/lockedon, and then feel free to search the site for great shirts and fun sports gifts. That's breakingtee.com/lockedon. All right, we're going to take a quick look ahead at what the Wolves have upcoming. This game against the Pelicans is really important. It's really put up or shut up time for this Timberwolves team, especially with the start to the unofficial start to trade season this week after that December 15th date when all players acquired as free agents over the summer are able to be traded. This is the time of year when teams are trying to decide if they're buyers or sellers, and the Wolves will know basically by Christmas whether or not they're going to be back into that buyer category. They still remain a game out of the playoff race in the West, despite being 10-15 and losing seven in a row. But look, I mean, if you look at these next few games, at home against the Pelicans, they have to win that game. And then they head out on the road for four games to the West Coast. They have at Denver, which is, of course, going to be extremely tough. Denver has maybe been a little bit disappointing so far this year, but they're still 17-8 and fourth in the West, tied for fourth in the West with Houston. The Wolves are at Portland, who's stabilized a little bit of late and are 11-16, win percentage-wise, basically tied with the Wolves for ninth in the West, as crazy as that is, but a team that the Wolves will be fighting with for positioning in the West. At Golden State, which is a winnable game against the league's worst team. Golden State has still just won five games so far this year. They're 5-23. And then at Sacramento, who has pulled a game ahead of the Wolves at 12-15, but is struggling a little bit more of late after having a burst there, struggling to start the season, had a really good stretch, and now is struggling again a little bit. But if you look at the next five games, two are against the worst two teams in the West, two are against teams the Wolves that are under 500, but teams the Wolves are battling with for positioning at the bottom of the playoff race in the West, and then one tough road game against Denver. You look at those five games, the Wolves have to go at least 3-2, and they really should go 4-1. I mean, those are all winnable games. The one back-to-back Denver and then at Portland is pretty tough, playing at altitude and then turning around and playing at Portland. So really, 3-2 would be okay on the stretch. But if you win every game except for the Denver game, then the Wolves have placed themselves firmly back into the buyer category and as a real potential playoff contender in the West. And that's how quickly things can change. No sense for whether or not Jake Lehman will be able to return soon, but that would be helpful. And then hopefully Towns' knee holds up as well. It doesn't look like Jeff Teague is going to make it on the injury report again. Josh Okogie hasn't been on in a little while. So if this team, again, can stay relatively healthy, get Lehman back, go 3-2 over this next stretch, then they have home games against Cleveland and Brooklyn between Christmas and New Year's. Both very winnable games. They've already beaten Brooklyn once. Cleveland is falling apart in the East. And then after that, at Milwaukee, at home to Golden State, at Cleveland, at Memphis. So again, outside of that Milwaukee game, you look at the next basically 3 weeks for the Wolves, and there's only a couple of games against really tough top flight opponents. They have at Denver, at Milwaukee, and then not until January 11th when they're at Houston. So really their next 10 games, they only play two surefire playoff teams and a couple of other kind of middle of the pack teams. But there's there's two Cleveland games, there's two Golden State games, there's this game against the Pelicans. Now is the time. And no doubt Gerson Rosas and the front office is looking at this next stretch, and they're going to hold on to their pieces right now and see how things shake out. If the Wolves are able to go like 8-2 in their next 10, which is feasible, or 7-3 even, and they get back, right at 500 and they're solidly in the 7 or 8 spot in the West, you can expect this team to either stand pat or make, very fringy moves ahead of the deadline. If they struggle and they're, 4-6 in the stretch even, and are just kind of hovering at 3, 4, 5 games below 500, don't be surprised to see the Wolves start to position themselves to sell off a couple pieces, maybe Robert Covington, probably Jeff Teague, before the trade deadline. But this is that next stretch. So expect the chatter to pick up a little bit towards the end of it. Don't expect anything to happen until we're at least in mid to late January. The deadline's not until February 6th. So there's certainly some time, but this is certainly the 10 to 12 game stretch that the Wolves are keeping their eye on from a potential player movement standpoint before making any rash decisions. So all that to say, hopefully that means we have some good basketball ahead of us. The next four home games are really winnable: New Orleans, Cleveland, Brooklyn, and Golden State. So hopefully some good crowds. Usually there's really good crowds around Christmas and New Year's as people are on break and people are visiting in Minnesota. So hopefully that picks up a little bit at Target Center and we can get a little bit of energy in the building as the Wolves try and get back above water here right around the flip of the calendar to 2020. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. We'll be back on Thursday morning to recap the Wolves-Pelicans game from Wednesday night and talk a little bit about takeaways, studs and duds from the game. Take a peek ahead to Friday night's game as well. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.